Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Yay!
Woohoo!
We're live. Where's the intro?
Everybody, welcome to the In and After Show. We are back again to talk about My Hero Academia. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone to please sign up for our newsletter at www.animenewsnetwork.com/newsletter and head over to kaimonamerch.com to get your ANN gear. Also, as you guys have probably realized, My Hero Academia is starting to wrap up after this arc. We probably only have, AJ, how many episodes? Four?
About three or four left, yeah.
Three or four episodes left. I know. I can't believe it's kind of snuck up on us in the end, I think, once we got into this arc. So that means that the ANN After Show will be switching to a new show, new anime show, come late September, early October. Early October is when we get that brand new season of anime dropping. So you'll also want to head over to our YouTube channel prior to that. I'll have a date for you guys pretty soon for our trailer watch party for all the new shows. But I'm interested to hear. Make sure to drop them in chat. There's also going to be a poll on Anime News Network tomorrow morning. And there's currently a poll on my Twitter, I guess, if you want to go over to my Twitter and try and ruin my life by making us watch Platinum End. I want to know what shows you guys want us to watch for the next season. So obviously, Demon Slayer just announced is coming out in October on Fuji TV, so I'm sure a lot of you guys will want to see that. But there's a whole slew of shows. Platinum End is one I mentioned, kind of, I think people might be interested. It's by the people who did Death Note, but I've also heard there's a lot of controversial content in it. So, I don't know, that might make for interesting talk. But there's also lots and lots of other shows to pick from. So if you want us to cover something different than Demon Slayer, or if you do want us to cover Demon Slayer, drop it in the chat. I'll be looking at that, all of our polls and stuff, to kind of get a good feel of what might be the best choice. But, you know, there's not really much going on in the news this week. So I think we're going to skip the news panel and go right into the Sad Man Parade. Is that the title of the episode?
Thank God, it is yes. The name of it.
Sad Man's Parade. This is all about Twice, who is probably my favorite villain on the League of Villains. And
really?
I think so.
I could see that. He's a fan favorite by a lot of people.
I mean, what's your favorite, Jack?
Twice. Yeah. I mean, I would say Dobby for sure.
Okay, yeah.
Or Stain, duh. I mean, but if we're
Stain is not in the league.
Yeah, okay, well, you're right. I was saying if we were saying like current villains. Wait, Stain? Yeah, you're right. Stain wasn't, right? Because Stain was just like kind of a rogue.
He wasn't,
he was like an inspiration for the league. But not the league.
Yeah, Stain. We all stand Stain here. We know that.
Stain stands.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say Dobby. I think everyone people love Twice, but I just think that like he is overshadowed by Dobby and Toga a lot.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Made me really love him like so much.
Yeah, Nicholas is also suggesting that we watch World's End Harem. Nick, no. Okay, I've read the manga for that. No, that's not happening. Jackie, I don't know if you know this show. It's an adaptation of a manga. Guy becomes the last man on Earth after he like wakes up from cryogenic sleep and there's only women left and he's got to just impregnate them all. It's like Pokemon. So that's the show.
Oh,
no, we are not
going. So ridiculous and so anime. Like, it's just like, how would that even exist? And it does.
They've all got giant boobies, just, you know, and they're all just ready
you know,
for it.
Just like Pokemon.
Just like Pokemon. So brutal.
Oh, I'm sorry, that comparison sending me.
He called us cowards. He said cowards. I can't even watch one episode of filler of My Hero Academia without complaining. So I don't know if I could even get through like 10 seconds of that. So
if Nick doesn't watch himself, he'll have to cover it for daily streaming. So there you go.
Yes.
Sorry, Nick. That's just the way the dice rolls around here. Right. So AJ, do you want to give us a lowdown on this episode? Jackie and I'm sure will interject every time, you know, you come up with something that almost made us cry. Of which there were many.
Sure. There's always, I think that's not going to end anytime soon. We nearly cried at least three times last week.
I know.
Maybe a few times this week as well, especially when we get into our man's revelation, his shonen power-up, so it is.
Yeah, everyone's getting one.
Yeah. So the episode basically starts off with, last we left off, Toga had just finished taking down one of like the main figureheads of the Meta Liberation Army, Curious, who was basically the reporter. Her job was to basically instill propaganda on behalf of the Meta Liberation Army. And she won, but she also like got the hell kicked out of her and lost a lot of blood. So she passed out in a shed. Twice just managed to find her, but then the episode ended with him being confronted with a bunch of giant clones wearing suits that all have Twice's face on them, sending him into basically a panic-induced anxiety attack because he's basically confronting his worst trauma. For those who don't remember, Twice's backstory was that he basically kind of grew up a loner. And he just created clones of himself to kind of like make friends, make his own gang. And then all the clones turned on each other and he was the last one left. So he's kind of has an existential crisis about whether or not he was the original one or if he's just another clone. Right. And he's very, like, he's fine using his quirk with other people, but he doesn't like using it on himself. And he's very cautious to get hurt or take his mask off because if something happens to him, he'll disintegrate and he just doesn't want to deal with that.
Right. Because his clones have, like, they're kind of like the little stuffed doll. Again, Pokemon reference. When you use the copy attack in Pokemon, he puts out this little doll to, like, absorb an attack. And it takes,
substitute.
Yeah, substitute. That's what it's called. And so, similar to that, he's worried that basically he's got, like, 5 HP and if he falls down too hard, he'll just disappear. So he's been trying not to get hurt this whole time.
Right, but this would be if the move substitute could also make substitutes to protect itself.
That's true. Right?
So and Skeptic, like, can force people to use their quirk or something, or he can adapt.
No, he makes basically homunculi, like these. He makes golems basically out of inanimate objects, and he can make them take whatever shape he wants them to. So he could like touch a table or a chair and turn it into a minion, and he can make that minion look however he wants it to look.
So he made a bunch of Twices?
Yes, because Skeptic's big thing is information, and based on the information they got from the broker that they kidnapped, you know, the one that they're trying to save, he's like, oh, you had an existential crisis and you are terrified of confronting yourself. So I'm going to make all my clones look like you to make you powerless, basically.
Got it. So it would freak him out. But then he,
which brings us to this point where he is literally seeing himself about to break Toga's neck. Because their main thing is, okay, kill Toga, take Twice, because he's actually really dangerous if he just doesn't really realize it yet. So you have this guy held down by himself, watching himself about to kill somebody that he really, really cares about and considers a friend. And it's really messed up. And I said last week, this voice actor is going to have some work this week, and he does. A lot of screaming, a lot of monologuing.
He has to do a lot of variations of himself and like group scenes where there's multiples of him, so they still sound like different Twices.
Right. He still has a little bit of that split personality disorder, but he's a bit more in control after this because he tries to break free to get Toga. They beat the hell out of him. And then like in Skeptic's like, you know what? Just break his arms. So that
was
doesn't
so
try
brutal. I think that was one of the more gruesome scenes we've seen in My Hero Academia. Like we've seen violence. We've seen blood. We even seen them snap to someone's arms backwards. I was honestly pretty shocked to see that in MH. I don't know if y'all felt the same way as me. Like I was like, they was an MHA? Okay.
Yeah. I think they were a little, the animation for it was limited enough that it didn't like really make me gross. Like, and I think they didn't.
Are you kidding me? I fucking, oh, sorry. Excuse me.
The manga's worse.
That's how much it scared me. Like they made the cracking noise and you saw them go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was still like, use your imagination enough, it was pretty gross.
Oh, I thought it was bad. But I'm queasy about that stuff already. Like, we all know I love action. But when it gets a little gory, I start to get a little uneasy. And so that was kind of, I think just like the thought of it kind of like, I don't know what's worse.
Someone in chat brought up a good point. How do you feel about Deku breaking his arms? How do you feel about Deku constantly breaking his arms?
You know what, though? It wasn't backwards, and it didn't have that snap.
I think it was definitely the angle. It's I get the same way whenever they do anything in movies where they, like, take the fingers and bend them backwards and then, like, break people's fingers like that. Like, it makes me queasy, too. I don't like it.
Yeah, I feel like it was, like, you know, when Deku breaks his finger, it's always, like, I don't know. It doesn't hit me like that. That was, like, I don't know. Maybe it was just me.
But it worked. To his advantage, because now that his arms were broken, he realized he wasn't a fake because he didn't disappear as soon as they broke his arms. And he's like, oh, so I am the real one.
Yep.
Which is kind of great for him. So
Yeah,
and it's the worst thing that the Metal Liberation Army could do because he basically gets his Shonen power up. It's like, oh, thank God, I'm not a clone. I'm not a clone, which means I can actually help my friends. And that's what he does. He just makes a bunch of clones of himself and getting into a little bit of his power. So Twice can make up to 2 clones of a thing that he knows the measurements for. That's why his thing on his wristband is measuring tape. It's not like just a weapon or anything. But the reason why his power is broken is because anything he makes a copy of, if he knows its components, can do the same thing that the original can do. So if he makes copies of himself, his copies can make copies. They won't be as strong, but he can just keep doing that over and over and over again. And I think they even kind of compare his power to be like, if he really wanted to, he could take over the country.
Right.
And so he ends up doing the set.
This is ridiculous.
It is. It's really broken when you think about it, because now they've leveled the playing fields. He can make thousands of copies of himself and kind of turn the table in this battle against the Metal Liberation Army. It's like, haha, that was the worst thing that you guys ever did. And even Redestro kind of tells Skeptic, oh, it looks like your plan might have failed. And he just gives him a glare like, nope, I've only failed once.
Like, I want to know the backstory behind that. Like, that guy's definitely got like some sort of chip on his shoulder. Something happened. And like, he messed up once. And ever since.
Skeptic, that was creepy. He was like, I wrote that down. It was something like, he's like, I've only failed like one time. And he was like, take that back. He was like starting to have a breakdown. I was like, what is going on here?
And you can see the gesture like, okay, my mistake.
Also, it really pointed out like how, I actually really like that part because I thought that it showed how cruel of a leader Redestro is because it's like, instead of being like, okay, like let's go, like let's come up with another game plan that didn't work, he like is
kind
like,
of eggs him on.
Yeah, he's like not even egging him on. He's like chastising him and just like embarrassing him and to a point that it's even getting a reaction out of him that's like very uncomfortable for everyone. And I was just like, you're not that great of a leader. Like I sometimes think you can vibe with a villain if they are a good leader. And actually, like, Lindsay's brought this up in the past with, like, we want to see Shigaraki, like, actually be a good leader, right? Like, not just a good, I mean, good is the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Like, an exceptional villain. I don't know what to say. Yeah. You know what I mean, though? But it's, like, that kind of bothered me because I was, like, you want the leader of a cult to be charismatic and to have like a good relationship with his underlings. At least I don't know. Like that's kind of what I was expecting.
Right.
And then when I saw he was like so condescending to them, because I don't even think I've ever seen Shigaraki be condescending to the other people in the league. Maybe someone can think of an example, but I think
he's kind of picked on Twice a few times. Like he's pulled Twice's mask off just to like make him shut up before, and which was really upsetting to Twice.
He's put his foot down, but I don't think he insults
he's not cruel
them.
To them.
I don't think he's cruel.
I thought that was really cruel, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I was like, you're sitting here preaching about how, you know, the Metal Liberation Army is so great and like it's for good, and you're kind of an a-hole. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that scene actually made me be like, because I want to learn more about these villains, like the Metal Liberation Army. And, you know, we've gotten little bits and pieces. And so, like, I'm trying to put together an opinion on them. And then that was like, because, like, I like Stain and I liked in ways his cause. You know what I mean? And so I think, like, Overhaul was super evil and didn't like anything that he was about. So like the Metal Liberation Army, I was like, am I kind of about your cause or am I kind of siding with the villain? Do I have empathy for him? And that that made me really not like Redestro.
I feel like we get a couple different interpretations of the Meta Liberation Army's goal in this. We get Ice Guy. What's his name again, AJ? Because I always mix it up with Girin, who's the broker.
I think it's Jiren. I actually didn't.
They're kind of similar names, and that's why it keeps messing with my head a little bit. But we see Ice Guy here talk about how he thinks that once the Meta Liberation Army's philosophy is spread and, you know, they've restructured society, your social standing is going to be based on how powerful your corp is. So definitely a representation of eat or be eaten, like dog eat dog world sort of situation.
Survival of the fittest. Essentially.
Survival of the fittest. Exactly. He's the first one I think we've seen actually say that that will be the end result, though. Like the other members have said, well, quirks won't be regulated. We want to deregulate quirks because people should have the freedom to use their quirks to their full abilities, regardless of what they are. And it shouldn't be structured around the hero society. But I kind of always thought that the end result of that situation is what Ice Dude here is talking about. Getten. Thank you.
Getten, yes. I literally just found it.
Yeah. Getten here. That there's no way that that doesn't lead to what Getten is describing, because eventually you're going to have people with more aggressive more offensive capable quirks. You're going to have people who want to use that power for whatever they want, and there's nothing to stop them from doing it. And if you don't have your own quirk to protect yourself, then you're screwed, right?
Right.
So that's always sort of been what I suspected the end result would be, even if though Redestro hasn't said that exactly in this show so far.
Well, this is what I'm a little frustrated about regarding this arc, because a couple of things have been cut, and maybe you'll notice this too, Lindsay, because you started reading the manga. When this arc started, remember there was like a boardroom scene.
Yes, I was going to bring that up too, but I'll let you talk about it.
And the other members, where they do sit down and they talk about their cause and their place. And it's basically the proper introduction. These guys didn't really have a proper introduction. If you really think about it, they didn't have a moment where they were all in the room and it's like, yes, this is what our cause, this is what we're fighting. That's in the manga, and that got cut. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be brought up in a flashback in the next episode, because it seems to focus specifically on Redestro and Shigaraki.
Right.
But there is kind of a rapport between them. They all are kind of united under this ideology, and they've all worked together for years. If you remember,
well, we don't know that about them. They're a very unrelatable villain to me. Like with Stain, he had such a crazy cause, really good design, and really intimate scenes, I think, with Ida, Deku, and Todoroki, right? Like I those were amazing fights. And then I think, like, you know, we have the great arc with Shigaraki, like in the very beginning where we get introduced to him. And I'm just thinking of villainous points in the series that have really stuck out to me. Obviously, like One for All versus All for One, like without a doubt, that's like the top one, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like with these villains, like I don't really hate them. I don't really care about them. Like Curious died, and I was kind of like, yo, this bee is kind of cool. Like she's like, looks like Mystique. She is like this deranged journalist, which like, I think like Lindsay and I, coming from a journalistic background, like she was everything we hated, but we're kind of like, whoa, this is what happens when you go so off the rails that you're like, just, you know, and I don't know. I like found her intriguing.
Yeah.
Dead. But then they died.
Anything about the guy who was talking on the bus, and he was like the politician's voice, or Skeptic, who just ran out of the tower crying and has some sort of trauma that I don't know anything about. Basically. And like Redestro is like not nice. So it's like, I just don't care about them.
There was an establishing chapter in the manga that was cut. AJ, stop me if it seems like I'm getting into it. I guess they could, if they showed this, it would have to be in the form of a flashback.
They did show a bit of it in the previous episode. It's the one where we see Redestro like.
Well, I'm talking about him and the mouse guy that worked for him at his day job.
Oh yeah, no, that.
So
was
there's awesome. A whole little like chapter in the beginning that establishes what Redestro does for his day job. That he's the CEO of this company that wants to get involved in making gear for heroes, right, AJ? That's like, that's like they've
the only thing that hasn't been brought up.
Yeah, they haven't like talked about this at all. But so he has this, he's works for this conglomerate. They've worked in other industries and they're just now getting into the hero support industry where they want to make stuff for heroes. He's appeared in commercials on TV to promote it. And there's this whole Redestro.
Basically, all of these characters in the manga appear in the background. They have a presence, a subtle presence throughout it, and that's kind of the point, because they've infiltrated different aspects of society. One's a journalist, one's a politician, one's a CEO, one's a data analyst.
See, none of it, they should have properly broken that down. I didn't even catch on to that.
Yeah.
Like, so, until you just said that, and that would have made it even a little bit cooler, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So him like working for this manufacturing conglomerate where they're going to start making hero stuff, there's this really eerie, like creepy scene. I think it doesn't make you like Redestro, but it does make you like scared of him. And it first kind of sets up how he's got this duality to him where he's, you know,
on the surface, very hospitable.
Yeah. On the surface, he seems like very hospital professional, like a quintessential professional businessman. You know, he's got his stuff together. He's running this company, and he has this scene where one of his subordinates come in and they're talking about the new business, and the subordinate criticizes his choice to go into this business and whether it's a good idea or not. And I think he actually says something against the Metal Liberation Army. So the subordinate isn't in the Metal Liberation Army. He just works for the company at Redestro's day job. And Redestro, they're having this, they seem to have this good rapport. They've worked together for a long time, but then he smack talks the Metal Liberation Army in front of Redestro, so he snaps his neck.
Just can't. It's very much like a they were having a casual conversation. He's like, "Oh yeah, what do you think of the? It seems like this Metal Liberation Army is kind of gaining steam. What do you think about?"
It's because
like,
the book's been out and it's on the bestseller list.
Exactly. And he's like, "Oh, I think they're kind of a bunch of like, you know, hoodlums and stuff like that." He's like, see, that's really a shame. I really do like you and everything. And then they go into an elevator and he just cracks his neck.
Yeah, he just kills him.
So that, that
like,
gives
why
you
isn't
a sense
that
of
in
like,
the show? Because I feel like
that's why like, that in the show.
Because yeah, I feel like that would be like, great, like character establishing moment where you're like, oh,
this guy's an a-hole.
This guy is psycho. Like he totally, you know, he's appearing in commercials all like smiley and stuff, trying to sell you, you know, kind of like this Jeff Bezos type, like trying to sell you stuff for your business or for
this
your
is bad writing. Seriously, that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that they had that source material. I feel like these have been, they've been the most shallow villains we've had so far.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking.
There was a better way of establishing them. And also, side note, that chapter is also where we understand that Redestro has a complex about his hairline because he's getting so old.
Oh my God. Please, why would they put that in?
And see, that's important because there's a callback to it in this episode because Twice starts making fun of his hairline and calling him baldy and stuff, and he gets really mad. Yeah, and we know in the manga that quite a few chapters earlier that was something he was already sensitive about.
Viewers don't know that.
But anime viewers don't know that. No.
Dude, that is some good stuff. That is, it's a shame it's not being used. I mean, I understand. No, I don't actually. I don't understand. I don't understand how we have a training arc that's like 10 episodes long and then we can't put in this development when we actually get to like good story points. Like, this is just bad writing.
I felt like they could have kept the training arc if they would have. I mean, some of the. They could have got rid of the filler episode. They could have done cutaways during the training arc for like, you know, some of the fights that we weren't quite as attached to the characters in.
Dude, those fights were drawn out way too long.
Yeah.
Way too long. They could have been, some of those fights could have been two an episode for sure. Like that, like, I don't know anything about the manga. I don't read the manga. So to hear that, like, there's these things that make people, like, if they had done the part where you said that they, you know, one's a CEO, one's a politician, one's a, you know what I mean? Like that would have been really cool to show that like corporate structure. Like I would have loved that. And then, yeah, I don't care about Redestro at all. And I don't see like the one great thing about the Batman animated series. I'm sure both of you watched it, but it's like they really made you relate to the villains. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Like they always gave them like a decent backstory and it wasn't, those episodes were super short. The Clayface episode is one of the best episodes I've ever seen. Do you guys remember the Clayface episode?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not
Heart
that
of Ice
hard.
Won like a freaking award.
Yeah, yeah, the really? Mr. Freeze. Yeah.
Oh, the Mr. Freeze. Emmy. Oh my yeah. God, don't even get me started. Yeah, but it's like that. That like, why aren't we doing that here? Like, if there's that good material, then like, I don't even know what to say.
Well, that's what people are feeling very about regarding this season, because it's a lot of restructuring, but it's not. At best, it's okay. It's hitting all the right notes, but it's not really drawing the proper things out. It's arguably drawing the worst parts out, and that's why I think more people are being frustrated with this. Which is a shame, because literally after this arc, or after what the anime is doing with this arc, there's not really any stopping at all. So yeah. I wonder exactly what they're going to do with that. But there's also not really going to be a point to go back and readapt that material. I do highly recommend that people read the manga, at least for a source of comparison. You don't have to, but if you want to get the full, if you want to get the full experience out of like how everything seems a bit more meticulously planned out, it is more present in the original source material than her here. Yeah. And I don't know who made these final decisions. You know, anime, like 7 different people make these kinds of corporate executive decisions about how things play out. But if it was for the betterment of the material, I can't agree with that personally.
Yeah. I mean, we do get some of Redestro's backstory here during his confrontation with clone Shigaraki, because Twice manages to overwhelm all the villains on the street or whatever, and makes his way into the tower right after a Skeptic leaves, right? So he leaves, and then Twice comes up, and he makes a couple copies of himself, but then he also makes a copy of Shigaraki and of Dobby, and did he also make one of Mr. Compress or no?
Compress. He also
Compress,
made
yeah. So they're all up there, and that's when we finally also get to see Redestro's power, but...
They don't explain it.
They don't explain it.
They'll explain it next episode.
He doesn't just have a big fat hand.
Yeah.
He can get really big and strong.
Yes.
Yes. They'll explain it next episode.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll explain it next episode.
Also, did his nose get bigger in this episode? It was not that big in the other episodes. It was big, but this episode, I was like, what is going on? They like made it bigger just so we would notice him more. I don't know what is happening, but definitely looked bigger to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the art in this episode was a little iffy too, as far as like just, I thought Shigaraki looked weird in a couple of shots. Like he didn't look as dried out as he's supposed to. He almost looked a little like cheekier, rounder in the face. I don't know. Just not quite as shriveled.
If we have a photo, like that didn't stick out to me. This did, but if we could see Shigaraki, like if we have any screenshots of him, then we can probably look. I kind of vaguely remember thinking that too.
I do not have screenshots.
Thinking that they didn't like make him as crusty, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like they like lightened it up for him this time.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it was just the clone was less crusty. Maybe Twice didn't copy him well enough and he's a little more hydrated. I don't know.
That is true.
I can't imagine animating some of this stuff because there were so many Twices. You know what I mean? That's a lot of like moving in action.
Yeah.
A lot of it was kind of CG, and we get some panning shots of like him on the roof doing what look like TikTok dances sometimes. And I'm like, okay.
Twice has a TikTok account.
We need to talk about like Twice's backstory more. I feel like we went over that. Like, I don't know if we want to come back to it later, but I
would
like
to come back to it after we wrap
up. Okay, let's go through it then, because I literally wrote notes and his backstory was like half of it. So.
Yeah.
No, that is definitely, that was only like a third of the episode, but in terms of.
And it was so good.
It's definitely the deepest stuff to extrapolate from everything. But like you guys said, Twice ends up making it up to the tower. Shigaraki points out like, oh, you know, they're probably up in that tower because, you know, there's a lot more people here than before. He's playing it like an RPG, like, oh, that's where the final boss is. So let's just cut right to the chase and everything. Twice gets up there, makes a bunch of clones, insults him, basically like, oh, you know, you'll never... you're all by yourself, you're not really going to be able to beat us, and just snaps his head off and everything and swipes off, not intimidated in the slightest by any of them, and is kind of talking down to them the whole way. It's like, you're just a bunch of kids, you don't really have any ambition or anything like that. Like me, I grew up during a time, like once upon a time there was a woman who had a child that had a lot of destructive power, and and she never raised her voice at him or anything like that. That was, that person was the one who coined the term quirk, even though it was that this society that killed her and left that baby all by itself.
Yeah, so, wait, so what was this? There's like a myth about this, the first baby to have a quirk.
So the idea is that this is Redestra's grandmother, because the child she's holding is his dad, right? And according to Redestra, you could say that she was assassinated, essentially. Like, her son had this quirk, and he was going to be discriminated against because of it. And so she's the one who coined the phrase quirk. She was like, no, he just has a quirk. It's like, it's just part of his personality. You can't, you know, treat him this way. And at least according to what Redestra says, she was murdered for it.
They
politically motivated, I assume.
It's implied to be a politically motivated hit. Think sort of like Martin Luther King, you could almost say. I would say that it's funny that a lot of this is kind of treated similar to like X-Men fighting for equal rights, when X-Men was very much supposed to be an allegory to the kind of like the LGBT and radical Black movement of fighting for civil rights and everything. Even like Professor Xavier and Magneto were supposed to be seen as allegories to Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, respectively, kind of on different ends of that radical spectrum.
I always thought it was supposed to be because Stan Lee was,
Stan Lee was Jewish.
I always thought it was more about the plight of the Jews, but that's okay.
It might have also been that there are various different allegories that the X-Men are supposed to represent, basically any sense of repressed group. And Redestra kind of talks like really bitterly about the idea of how the term was coined, because it very much almost feels like it was done in honor of her death.
Right.
When in reality, it's like, oh, but you know, society was the one that killed her. So Destro was kind of seen as this, it's almost like Destro was destined to kind of be the one to wake up people and show them that like, there's nothing wrong with you, do what you want, which is ostensibly on the surface what is supposed to be their ideology. But like you said, there are holes in it. If everyone is allowed to do whatever they want, then doesn't it just become a situation of survival of the fittest?
Right.
If people with quirks are supposed to be seen as like this, if nothing's wrong with them and there's this like evolution, basically, what was that say for people like Deku or All Might who were born without quirks?
Right.
What happens to them, even if it is more rare compared to everything else?
Or even so, Deku's mom had a really weak quirk. That was
She could just levitate things. That was it.
Like a little bit. Like it wasn't, you know, not with a lot of force or anything. So
it definitely does kind of lead credence to a survival of the fittest mentality. And there's a little bit of vagality regarding like, okay, are you guys doing this because you genuinely want everyone to be free and happy? Or are you doing this because, especially when you look at what Redestra is capable of, it's like, is it just because you're strong and without any regulations, you would be the ones on top?
Right.
So that's kind of what he's saying. And the whole time he's getting more and more angry, we see the dark patches on his body expanding, and while he's fighting the clone, Shigaraki just disintegrates the entire building that they're in, and the episode ends with Redestra basically be like, okay,
that's a good shot, by the way. I thought that was a good shot.
So did he adapt this, or did he get this power from his father then? It's like a similar power his father had, or
I don't know exactly where it came from. I guess it's implied to kind of come from his father, because his father had the like also black patch mask.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And that's kind of similar to what he's doing. They'll explain what the quirk does. Let's just say that it also sort of ties into his personality, which is why I wish we had that introduction. There is supposed to be a massive shift in dichotomy between how he presents himself normally, very formally, very soft-spoken, versus what he says and what he really wants to do. So we might see that in the next episode. It's just a shame that it feels like we missed all the opportunities to have that introduction already, that it would almost feel weird. And next episode feels like it's going to focus more on Shigaraki's backstory and
knowing what's coming there.
I'm
just gonna cry a whole bunch, because we already know some about Shigaraki's backstory, right? We've already learned that he killed his entire family on accident, and he's blanked out a lot of the details of that. That he was, and then that he was taken in by All for One and essentially raised to channel his his power and his anger towards a way that would make him a suitable successor. Yeah. But we're going to get the nitty gritty details. Well, I'll be interested to see what, considering the cuts we've already seen in the anime so far, I'll be interested to see if all of it is still there.
Versus... Yeah, it's really violent. Yeah. It's really violent. There's no way they're going to be able to show everything. So
see, that kind of pisses me off. Like, just go.
Network television, there's only so much, and this is still primarily geared towards kids, which is kind of one of the surprising things about My Hero, is that it does start very much in this light, almost optimistic sense, and then progressively, as the curtains pulled back more, progressively gets grittier and grittier and grittier. That's why people love this arc so much, because it's like, this is the massive tonal shift into the really disturbing, problematic things about the heroism and society. And speaking of society, we mentioned last time how Togo was just kind of this person that fell through the cracks. Twice fits that bill even more so to a T.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you can come away from this episode without having a lot of sympathy for him. I mean, this is a guy who his quirk is to make duplicates of himself. He, at 16 years old, ends up with a felony on his record, which he can't bounce back from. I think there's a lot of people in society who can relate to that. You know, you make some kind of stupid decision as a 16-year-old.
That was terrible. He hit someone with...
Someone by accident with his company's car.
Yeah.
It was a motorcycle.
Yeah, it was a motorcycle. But it's like... And then he said, well, I was going the speed limit and it was by accident. You know, like, how would they press charges against him for that? Like, that doesn't make sense.
I mean, it's one of those things where... If you hit someone with your car,
no matter what, if you're a pedestrian
or if you're behind them and you hit them, even if you're going the speed limit, even if they make a turn in front of you too quickly and you end up hitting them in the back, you're considered at fault.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can argue that in court if you can get a good lawyer or something, but he's a minor at this point. And I don't know if I don't think like the victim necessarily sued him or anything. It's just the state.
It created a domino effect.
Yeah, the state decided to press charges. So then he ended up with a felony on his record and he's an orphan. So he doesn't have a safety net to fall back on. He has a job that's also providing him like room and board on top of employment, which.
And then kicked him out.
And then they kick him out because the person that he hit with the car was a client of the company. And so the company loses money. So they ditch him and because he doesn't have any of that safety net. That's what leads him to decide, well, I'll make a copy of myself. So I have someone to talk to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really bad. It's like,
that really is really bad. Yeah. I watched this episode with my sis. And when we were seeing that's basically when he's making the clones, he's like, well, now I won't be alone anymore. It's like,
it's not even a real human being, but he just wanted someone to be able to rely on.
He's literally talking to himself and getting wrapped up in himself.
Right.
To the point where he hits rock bottom.
Right. So he can't get other employment. He doesn't have anywhere to live. So he turns to a one-man gang, makes enough copies of himself to start pulling off heists, I think is essentially what it is. It looks like. Yeah, I don't think
like
he's
little crimes. Yeah.
I don't think he's like murdering people or anything like that, but I think he's like stealing cars and
he basically made his own.
Yeah, like he's doing a lot of robberies.
Yeah, robberies and things like that. And then I don't know, he's got so many copies of himself at one point that like they start to turn on each other. So they tie him up in a room and they just murder each other and he has to watch. Like that's just
which, like, think about, like, he developed relationships with them. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, so, I don't know. This whole, like, from the beginning, I was just, like, his character, what he was going through, is just so relatable for anyone, I feel like. I think, like, we've all, I mean, maybe not on that scale, but we've had, like, bad things happen to us. And then it feels like you're bad luck and just bad things happen and happen and happen. Like I've heard other people like talk about this and like, you know, psychology go into this and stuff like that, where like once something bad happens to you, you almost like start to attract more and you can keep on falling down that hole if like you don't see what's happening and allow yourself to cut it off. And like, sometimes just a lot of bad things happen at once. Like definitely I think we've all been there, you know?
Some of us just get lucky too. And he didn't get lucky. Like, I have had
tells himself, you've just been very unlucky.
Right. Well, okay. So like I do not have a criminal record, but that does not mean that I've never been in situations where I may have been encountering law enforcement and I just didn't get it. You know, I didn't get written up for it, or they just decided to feel lenient at that point in time. And the situation didn't turn out as bad as it did. I've been in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. And it just like, I got lucky. So
same. I didn't super get lucky. That's a story for a different time. Yeah. Don't worry, I don't have a record or anything. But that very much was a case where I was unlucky and then I got lucky at the last moment because it's very hard to recover and bounce back from certain situations. And hey, look at our modern day society. If one bad thing happens to you, it defines your entire life.
Yeah. Right.
100% now.
But it doesn't define, it shouldn't define who you are, because we talked about this a few times. Twice isn't a bad guy.
No.
Like, he's made a bunch of mistakes. He's kind of been cast aside. And here's the thing. He's so desperate for people to talk to and interact with. This is a guy that spent a significant amount of time, and I'm guilty of this too. When bad things happen, you literally get wrapped up in yourself.
Yeah.
You literally feel like you have no one left to talk to but yourself. And when yourself is the only one you feel comfortable talking to, that is when you spiral and that is when you hit rock bottom.
He turns to a broker to basically introduce him into a social group. Like he's, you know, all of his clones at this point are gone, and he's wearing a paper bag on his head because he's gone off the deep end at this point. I'm not sure, you know, exactly what led up to him getting into contact with Garen, but he meets Garen and Garen's like, you need people you can trust. So he refers this person
to the League of Villains
and they accept him. But I mean,
because who else was going to accept him? That was like the one thing, like we all have stretches of hard times, I think, but for most of us, we have like a decent support system. We have people to turn to. It's like he was going through so much bad luck and then he had no one to turn to. And I think that is like a really bad combination, is when someone is lonely and isolated and then they are going through hard times. Like that is like the worst combination when it's those two things.
Yeah.
And it's like, just unfortunately, that was like what his life was like. I also thought it was interesting that like he has a lot of self-hatred. I think more so than like any of the League of Villains, you know, like he hates himself so much he can't even look at his face. And I think like that's something we've talked a lot about on here, and he definitely, in my opinion, is like one of the biggest cases of self-hatred. And it was like showing how like he felt like he was a disappointment to the League of Villains because like he couldn't recreate the Yakuza bullets and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, he wanted to be useful instead of just like a charity case, essentially. Yeah. And
I just felt so bad for him. Like it's just like he wants to be wanted so badly and he hates himself so much. Like I don't know which one was harder to watch, to be honest. Like I thought Toga's episode was really hard to watch. But this one was like really, really sad.
Tomorrow's gonna be
so much worse. I think you brought up a very good point, Jackie, because you said it last week too. Self-hatred. Like these people were almost taught you should not love yourself.
Yeah.
There is nothing good about you. We do not care about you. And it's like, well, these people say that they care about me. These people say that I'm worth something. These people keep me around, and you label them as villains? Why? Like, because they don't live up to your golden standard, or because you let them just kind of slip through the cracks? Granted, there are certain things that you can't always come back from, like Toga being a murderer and Dobby's whole fucking situation. Yeah. Sorry. But there was always a point where this could have stopped, you know?
I personally, and I think all three of us kind of have a, we tend to vibe with villains more. I think all three of us do. And I think it's because All three of us have gone through trauma and have, we're all working through trauma or have like come a long way from it, you know, but it's like, I see these people and I see the trauma they've gone through. And it's like, instead of having the support system at the last second or like being able to see their self-worth just a little bit, like it just went down. And you just see like, what makes these villains so good is that like, you can see they were just so close. Like somehow something just went wrong at the right time.
And like if Twice had had a good support system, like with his quirk, he could have, there's a lot of different things I feel like he could have done that didn't involve, you know, petty crime. He could have, he could have run his own construction business with a bunch of copies of himself and like built things.
Yeah.
He's got his own personal workforce.
Could have started his own business and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he doesn't see his worth and he is afraid to be alone.
Right.
And he can't, like, it's just like that. What's so sad about all these characters. And I think like a reason like why the three of us like are always, we feel so much for these villains is because like, I think like all three of us have had hard lives and we've gone through trauma, but we just were blessed enough, fortunate enough to like have a support system or like Lindsay said, a lucky break or whatever, you know, like, and it, we should be really grateful for that because I think like these are examples of people who just like things just, and they're, these are obviously, this is a fictional show, but this people in real life have things like this happen to them. You know what I mean? They have these awful streaks and they don't have a support system and things turn out really, really badly. It's like, if anything, this episode made me realize like how many lonely people I see and how I wish I reached out to them more. You know what I mean? Like, especially like older people. Like I know this is getting like kind of like off topic, but it's just like, we always talk about how great this anime is because it makes us think about like how we can do better, you know? And it made me just think about like how many lonely people are out there and they don't have anyone to turn to. And I'm not saying that they're petty crime people like who are robbing stuff. You know what I mean? I think that there's a lot of people out there who just feel lonely and just go through bad streaks and they don't feel like they have anywhere to turn. And it's just like sad, you know? So,
Yeah.
I had this interesting conversation with my sis's boyfriend, actually. It was about a separate thing, but I think it does kind of relate to this where people, and it kind of relates to what some people are saying in the chat. We relate to villains because what's that saying? Every happy family is happy the same way. Every family is unhappy in different ways.
I've never heard that before, but it sounds smart.
Yeah, it's very much a case of like when you're happy, you're not really thinking about much. You're not really, we kind of associate happiness or protection as like this blanket thing. Think of that's what All Might did. He made everyone feel blanketly safe and protected. And because everyone was content, they never really thought that, oh, nothing needs to improve. Everything is fine right now. And then when stuff like this happens, it's like, damn it, it must be their fault because I turned out okay. We all turned out okay. We're protected. So, and some of these things, because Twice, this happened to him when he was in his 20s.
Well, I mean, he hit the guy with a motorcycle when he was 16, so.
So also, yeah, that's a good thing to consider. He's been through this for a long time. Yeah. He went probably a solid decade without anybody really reaching out and helping him. Mm-hmm. That messes people up. It took me a long time before I found a decent support group, and it's very hard to hold on to that. So I can't even imagine where I would be when I would reach Twice age if I didn't eventually find that support group and get the help that I needed. But here's the sad thing, and someone brought this up in chat. Heroes are basically put in charge of everything, but they can't reasonably be in charge of everything. Right. There's no hero that's going to sit here, pat Twice on the back and be like, let me get you some counseling, man. It's a lot easier to be like, oh, criminal? Oh, you're making yourself into a gang? You're a threat. We gotta make sure we arrest you. He's put on like a national wanted list.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting to point out, like, Twice is dealing with bunch of issues compounded on one another, right? Mm-hmm. So not only did he have bad luck with the motorcycle incident, but once he's a minor, he's an orphan dealing with poverty. So he doesn't have like food security, doesn't have a place to live, all of that once he loses his job. And then on top of that, mental illness. So all three on top is just like, I don't know how to word it. It was just I'm not surprised that he had to turn to the kind of life that he did, because he was dealing with so many things on top of each other.
What else was he supposed to do?
Right. Right. They do need to make like a quirk hotline sort of thing, you know? Like, there definitely needs to be a move to more community-based help as opposed to just reactive hero policing. But now am I still talking about heroes, or am I talking about something else? So
I mean there's no resources like now for people with mental health problems. It's like, I have so many friends where I'm like, okay, you need to go see a therapist, and they're like, it's like $100, like I can't afford that, you know what I mean? And I'm like, this is a problem. And I know that there are nonprofits out there, but then people don't know about them, or it's like too intimidating.
Or they're not as good, or they're not properly equipped.
Yeah. People should be able to walk. If someone needs therapy, they should be able to access therapy, and it should be extremely inexpensive or free, and it should be accessible, and it's just not. And I think like,
and then we act surprised when stuff like this happens, like, oh, what can we do differently? Well,
it's like, and I understand, like, we wanted to blame like Toga's parents, right? But if Toga's parents had access to, and I mean, I don't know, like proper therapy, and could have gotten training on how to like deal with their child with a quirk, you know, I talked about last week how it reminded me a lot about someone dealing with someone with an addiction, because it was like with my family, they didn't know how to deal with Ian. Like, we were like, is there a book on like how you handle this situation? And like, there are tons of books, but nobody really has invested proper time to like really come up with like a solid plan here. And so it's like, I feel like it reminded me, like the Toga episodes really reminded me of that, because I was like, her parents were probably just like, where do we even start? Frustrated, overwhelmed, you know what I mean? Wanting their child to just be better and not be like this, but they didn't have, you know what I mean? It's just like, I think this episode, the last episode, what we're potentially going to see next week is just like mental health, people. Like, we need to.
Yeah, next week, I feel like, so I won't. Well, next week, me and AJ are in the same seat where it's like, I don't want to give away spoilers for.
We're gonna cry next week.
If it has anywhere near the same amount of oomph, I guess is the only word I can think of, like the same intensity as the manga chapter for this, there's no way like there'll be a dry eye watching this, because it's just.
Oh jeez.
It's just a lot, and the show is going to continue heading into that direction. I feel like actually the Endeavor arc itself was sort of like table setting for what you can plan to see. Everyone's got this really tragic backstory. It's just like a continual examples of how the system failed and where that leaves people and how that shapes people. Not all of them become villains, but like Todoroki, you know, is definitely on his way to be a hero, despite the situation that he was confronted with in his own household. But you get other characters that experience very similar situations as Todoroki, even, but they don't come out the same way.
Well, Todoroki had a support group. Todoroki had his siblings,
good friends,
and friends that he's very thankful that he met and he cherishes. And I think that's kind of what it kind of comes down to. The difference in, we talked about generational stuff. That's kind of the difference with a lot of this now. And I think this will be kind of the final point that I make about this, because everyone needs help. Everyone needs, you shouldn't leave anybody alone. It is kind of like my philosophy. It's, even if people like hurt each other, whether they mean to or not, I definitely think, and I'm not saying that like, oh, if someone stabs you or something, just like turn the other cheek or anything. But it's very much a case of like, there will always be a line that you can't really come back from. But I think that line is further out than a lot of people might assume. It's just easier to assume that it's like the immediate thing or the immediate course of action to take, because we don't want to make those hard choices. I won't go too much into it now, but I'm currently in a situation where it's like, it's not an ideal one, but the only other option is to leave a person alone, a person that I really don't think it deserves to be alone in any way, shape, or form, because we see it happen all the time. What happens when you leave those people alone, when good people are left alone. So it, my soapbox statement is basically like, you said it yourself, Jackie, there'll always be people we come across that like, I wish I was there for them more. Maybe if we actually worked towards being in a situation where no one truly was left alone. And this, without giving too much away, this comes back in full swing later on in the series, and I'm proud of it for that, because it's not just about an individual's choice, it's about all of our choices. So it's this so didn't have to happen to them. It is hard.
Like, it's easy for us to be like, you know, I want to be there for people more. Like, I look back and I'm like, God, I wish I had done this for my brother. I wish I'd done that for my brother. Like, you know, I have had a lot of guilt about it. But, you know, like, I have come to terms with it in ways, because it's just like, I'm human. And also it's just like, I was dealing with my own BS, you know, and that's the thing in life. It's like, we're all dealing with it ourselves, you know? So it's like,
but we can all deal with it together.
Not to put the onus on Toga and Twice completely. Like, you know what I mean? Or Shigaraki. Like, you know, but there is a point where, like, you have to start healing your own trauma. You know what I mean? And you can't just be like, oh, well, I was, you know, all of these bad things happened to me. Like, bad things happen to everybody. Everyone is going through it. You know, I think the big thing is that, like, we need to try our best to be there for other people. We definitely need better systems out there, I think, like, in general. But the
choice is primarily on you.
But it's like, you know, we can't also guilt ourselves for not being there for everyone, because it's like, we also have to take care of ourselves and we're also going through it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, you could almost look at All Might, you know what I mean? Like, here was someone who was trying to help out everybody and really didn't like think of himself, and then ended up like
crippled.
You know, I'm not gonna say, I don't want to sound bad, but like, he put the world in a really compromised situation because he didn't let them take care I don't want to hate on All Might here. I'm just saying, we're all
human. No, you're right.
And like, he overdid it, you know what I mean?
His heart was in the right place, but this is it would be so easy to make it a black or white situation. It'd be so easy to be like, if people, and this is why, like, it kind of reminds me of the death of Superman and everything. It's very much like that. The whole point of that original story was Superman was seen as a fix for everything, that when he left, everyone's like, well, what do we do now? Like, we relied on you for so much. All Might, without going too much into, All Might hasn't really addressed this, and I really wonder if he ever will. It's very much like, hey, dude, you helped contribute to a culture of dependency, and I think you were expecting to go out in a big blaze of glory so you wouldn't have to, like, see what that would look like when you were gone.
Yeah.
But now you're still here, so what do you think? And now it's kind of like,
do you prime a bunch of children up to try and take up the mantle for you, because you've left this big void. That's a big issue that's, I think, still lingering with the show itself.
Main takeaway is, life is hard. None of us are going to do it right. All Might definitely didn't want to leave the world in a compromised situation. Twice and Toga didn't want to become, I don't think initially wanted to become, like, murderous or villainous people. You know what I mean? Oh. But it's like, life happens. And it's like, you have to be easy on yourself and know that, like, you're human, but you also need to, like, constantly be, like, resetting and rechecking yourself too, or, like, you will become too far gone. I think all of them are examples of, like, what happens when it is you've gone too far, you know what I mean? And I do think that, you know what I mean? Like, we said, some people are too beyond being redeemed, but it's just like, I don't know. Sometimes I think as a society, we're really harsh on people. I think AJ said it earlier, like, someone does one thing wrong, people are like, oh my God, like, cancel culture is insane now. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, people are like, I don't care what else you did.
There's no coming back from this.
And you know what I mean? Yeah. And a lot of the things that those people did were really wrong. You know what I mean? And I understand that, but it's just kind of like, we need to remember that we're all human. Like, the great All Might messed up. You know what I mean? Like, Toga's parents messed up. You know, Twice messed up. It's just about, like, resetting, rechecking and like making sure that you don't, like, these are cautionary tales. All of these are cautionary tales. And we're just hoping that Todoroki, Deku, Bakugo, Class 1A, 1B, all of them just do better, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll continue to make mistakes. We already see them. They're young and they're already making mistakes. Like, Todoroki hasn't completely forgiven his father yet. That's a huge burden. That's a huge, like, ask, you know.
Bakugo's got still some deep-seated insecurity issues.
For sure. Yeah. And Deku is doing exactly, well, and what is different than All Might, but you know, putting everyone before himself.
He is a child with the altruism of Superman, and that is very dangerous if you sit down and think about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like, it's so much power and responsibility, and it's like, if you keep on putting yourself out there like that, you're gonna leave everyone, just like All Might, like, leave a lot of people vulnerable, and
if you don't break first.
Yeah I think, like, The one, I don't read the manga. It sounds like the manga is brilliant, you know, but like the things I love about this show is that it's trying to tell people, like, please don't let this happen to you, or, like, you know, be aware that this can happen, you know,
keep
what I mean?
An eye out.
Yeah. But it's like, it's very much upon us to keep ourselves in check too. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, Endeavor didn't keep himself in check, and now his whole family hates him. You know what I mean? It's like, guy could have come home for dinner and not beat his kids up. It's like, wasn't really a tough ask, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, it's but it's like, you know, people get carried away with their own dreams and their own ideals, their trauma, like, all this stuff. It's just like, it's so important for us to all, like, stay balanced and, like, keep things in check, you know? So these last episodes have been, the last two have definitely been the strongest of the season for me. Still think the villain's weak AF, but, you know.
No, that's fair. You know,
the problem it could be with these episodes is that it's too much to tackle. Like, we got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Don't understand why the training arc was as long as it was then. But, you know, now we have way too much going on. It's like, we're dealing with the League of Villains trauma. We have a new villain in, right? We have Giganta Machia and Dr. whatever his, with the creepy eyes, he's bald with Nomu. Dr. You know, like, there's just, like, so much going on. And I think it's damaging to the arc right now, which is unfortunate, but.
Yeah. I kind of agree. I think that was almost sort of the point, like, kind of calm here, nightmare here. And then everything eventually kind of clashes in the middle, but I don't think the anime properly displays that personally, but we'll see. I'll have a bigger statement to make about that when the whole show is over at the end of the month, I guess. But I do share similar sentiments, Jackie. It's very much, there needs to be kind of a balance between the kids making their own progress in sort of this optimistic way and the dark underlying issues that they are not really being prepared for at all. We just have to hope that they'll do the right thing and say the right things at the right time. It's a lot of hope without a lot of training, and what else can you do?
Yeah. Okay, so before we get into next week, I guess I just want to say thank you again to everyone for coming out to the show. Make sure to leave comments on the YouTube comment, and head over to animenewsnetwork.com. For the poll tomorrow, we're still trying to decide what show we're going to cover for the fall season. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in. We'll see you again next week with more sad My Hero Academia drama. it's just unstoppable at this point. And this has been Lizzie Leverage and Mr. AJ Cosplay and Jackie Jing. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.